Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Good Time Gal. I'm your host, Caitlin Palufo. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you hear something in the background, it's the AC, because your bitch is hot. It's hot. I'm in here in with our one AC in the room with my two cats just sprawled out right in front of it, being real helpful. It's hotter than balls here in New York City. But you know what else is hot? This episode, you guessed it. I'm sorry. I'll never do that to you again. Anyway, this week on the episode, we have Mary Santora, who, well, this one's for the books, babies. We got another doozy. This one's so great. It's so fun. It's so silly. And what a time. She's an MVP when it comes to drinking. Thank God she doesn't do it anymore. You'll see why. It's great. It's honestly, it's such a fun episode. She's so open, so honest, and it's just hilarious. Love it. You can find her at Mary Santora Comedy on Instagram. Make sure you follow her there. She has a link tree up with all of her dates. She has an album out called Hillbilly Bougie. So make sure you go download that. Take a look at that. Read, drink that. Oh my God. Listen to that. There we go. She's got it. Anyway, she's super funny. She's great. I love her so much. This was a really fun episode. Follow me at Caitlin Palufo. Follow the pod at Good Time Gal Pod on Instagram. And go to my YouTube, because I now I'm taping all of these. And so all of them are on YouTube, and you can watch us do all the funny, stupid shit as well as listen to us in your car. Do that. Eventually I'll start a Patreon, but not today. And follow me online to get all my dates. This weekend I'm going to be in Key West, Florida. How lucky am I? Key West, Florida, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then I am going to be opening for Mateo Lane in P-Town, August 20, 21, and 22. And then I'm going to be at a wedding. You don't need to know about that. But then I'm going to be doing High Plains September 8th through 10. And then after that, I am headlining Minneapolis, the Underground, September 16 and 17. So come on out to those. It's going to be great if you're in those areas. I will post them again. They're all on my link tree on Instagram. With a ticket link as well. So thank you so much for listening, and I love you. And please, please, please rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend, and mostly just enjoy Mary Santora. She's a queen among mortals. She's great. Love her so much. Enjoy.
Holy shit. Did you like that, Fonz? Was that good for you?
Oh, we're back.
Sweet, sweet Fonz. Oh, my gosh. Mary Santora.
Hi, Caitlin.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. Boy, does my voice switch, huh?
Yeah.
When they turn it on, I'm like, hello, Mary. Okay,
you
I'm
get
sorry.
Your radio voice. Yeah. You're like, back on air. Yeah, here we are. In studio with.
You would know about that. Little Miss Radio Star, huh?
Hey, man. I love radio. I've been doing it for a few years now. And it's so funny, depending on the generation of person I'm talking to. Like, if it's people our age or younger, and yeah. I tell them I work on radio, they're like, so what is it? Like, it's like a 4-hour podcast every day. I was like, yeah, or radio.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, that was around beforehand, right?
Yeah,
like,
radios ran so that podcasts could sprint.
Exactly, yeah.
Jesus. Oh, isn't that so upsetting that people don't know what radio is?
It's one of those things where I think maybe they just don't associate it with talk radio, that they think of like DJs, you know, mm-hmm. They're just the people introducing the songs. And like, no, it's like a talk radio program every afternoon. And they're just like, oh, that's so cool. It's like, I have a podcast. I'm like, yeah, I guess it's kind of the same, but except it's live and in real time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool. So
do they replay, like save them and then replay them like a podcast?
Yeah, we have you can search anywhere, The Ellen Cox Show.
There you
go. Get podcasts.
Plug it, baby.
But yeah, they have it on like Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Podcast, you can get it, but then you can also, if you're within like the terrestrial, mm-hmm. you can listen to it live every day too.
Look at that, good time, yeah. Gal. We do the plugs in the beginning.
Hell yeah!
Huh? How
super
about that?
Exciting. which camera is mine?
Yeah, that one's yours.
There we
that
go.
One. You make love to that
it.
One.
Got it.
This one's for both of us. Look
Ooh,
at that, right in the middle.
Nice.
Oh, she's pretty. Yeah. And then this one's all mine, baby. I've been eye fucking this camera the whole time.
Wink at it.
Ha-da-da. Call me mommy. All right, please don't. That's anyway.
Uncomfortable.
Who's awkward? Me.
Anyway, thanks for being here. You're so excited. In from Cleveland.
Yes, I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I had a college gig in New Jersey last night.
Living the dream.
Just living the dream. Mm-hmm. And we were actually off air this week. And so when I got the college gig, I was like, damn, it's only an hour outside of the city. And so like, I text you. I text a couple people and was like, is there anything you know of a week from now? Yeah. So I was able to put together a good little run of shows.
Yeah,
so,
I saw your little list. It's a great list.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Comedy Soup tonight, which you guys will not be able to go to. This is far in the past, but you should go to that show anyway.
Yeah.
It's on Tuesdays at Gotham. You should go. But look at that. I'm plugging
it. We're killing it.
You fucking pay me.
Hey,
Gotham Comedy Juice.
It is a
very good show.
Well, you called it Comedy Soup, so maybe maybe you're not the one they should
pay. Oh, I'm doing hot soup later tonight and then Comedy Juice early.
Yeah.
Oh, and they all just make a little love, baby.
get them both on board and it'll mm-hmm. be the Caitlin Palufo special. Tuesday's Comedy Soup.
Comedy Soup, baby.
There it is.
Yeah, no one's
happy.
I got
you. I'm a marketing manager.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that because
Anything
I am making now two shows mad at me. So that's fun.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great.
So this is obviously a show about beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Tea, mostly.
Yes.
I'm joking.
And spilling it.
Yes, spilling it. Spilling the tea about being a drunken asshole.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, I know. Welcome to the club. I have not had a drink in 1 month preparing for new faces.
Congrats.
Look at that. Yes.
Preparing to blackout?
No.
Oh, I was like, what do you do? You want like a clean liver so that way when you get there, it's like two beers and I'm out.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. No, I just know that I love the summer in mm-hmm. New York and I do it. I do mm-hmm. the summer.
Yeah.
I do the whole summer. I do the spritz.
Yeah.
I do too many sangrias.
Yes.
All of it. And so I was like, no, you got to not be a drunk idiot to prepare for this thing. So
Let's
just not even.
Let's focus.
Let's take it out.
Okay.
It's 1 month of your life.
How do you feel?
Feel good. I see why people do this.
Yeah. I've been sober for over 3 years and it's those first couple months I was like, damn, I can just be awake. This is wild. Like I was like probably a month sober and I was like, I have time to get McDonald's breakfast and go to the bank. Like get the fuck out of here. Is this how the 1% lives? Okay. Look at me.
I love that you're sober and you're still having McDonald's breakfast. Mm. Jesus Christ.
I am trash. Like let's just start there. There are some things that were not caused from alcohol that are just personality traits.
Okay. Tell me about upbringing. Why is it trash? Tell me, give me your trash past.
My trash past. Oh, that's a good, you like have like a graphic coming like trash past.
Yeah.
So I grew up very poor and very religious. Those two things. I think,
oh yeah. That's trash.
Together. Yeah. Hand in hand, you know, I have five brothers and sisters. So there were seven people living in one house under one salary. My dad was he worked in a factory, just mm-hmm. building parts for the steel industry.
Yeah.
So we were just super poor and my dad was a gambling addict. So addiction runs in the family. He was mm-hmm. sober from alcohol for like 20 years at the time they had me. So he quit drinking when he started having kids.
Yeah. You can only have one vice.
Dude. Right.
That's it.
Oh,
two,
God.
You're in the gutter.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
Trust me. Trust me. Your girl loves to replace one vice with another. So, no.
Hell yeah.
So it was like growing up around addiction. You learn it at a very young age. Like, mm-hmm. I was doing scratch offs at like 6 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I had a favorite scratch. My dad would come out and be like, I said double doubler. Thank you. Could you go back in and get me my scratch off? But yeah, so that was kind of like the basis of it. My parents split when I was like 11. So mm-hmm. I was pretty young when my parents split. And then, you know, just that kind of childhood trauma. My mom was a hoarder. So we grew
Beautiful.
Up in a hoarder house.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
it's nothing like being crushed by a box of something. You know,
37 cats, whatever it might
have
been.
Wow, she was a cat hoarder?
She was a stuff and cat hoarder. That was the big thing. Like,
Ooh.
We took in a stray when it was probably right around the time my dad left, that we didn't know was pregnant.
Oh, no.
So the stray had kittens, mm-hmm. and then they all started breeding, and then it was just like, before I moved out, it got to the point where we, like, couldn't even use the upstairs of our house because there were literal feral cats living
God.
In the upstairs of our house. Yeah, it was wild, dude. Like,
that's nuts!
Yes. So if you want to talk childhood trauma between the divorce and the hoarder house and dead kittens and any other thing, I might have gone to drinking a little early. So,
no one blames you.
Right.
I have two cats right now, and I'm like, wow, it smells like litter box. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. Everything's
so
crazy. This is crazy. And now you're like, we couldn't use the upstairs.
Yeah. There were literal
half
feral
of
cats.
Our home, we could not use. That's right. Wild.
Yeah, dude. So I actually didn't even start drinking until like high school. So I was like one of the cool kids. And,
that's,
you know,
very nice.
My brothers called me Captain High School. So I was like, you know, on the homecoming courts and dating the star athlete. And I was a cheerleader. And
I believe
all of that.
500%.
Oh, dude, 1,000 times. And people, it's so funny because I have people who will be like, you don't ever really talk about like high school or college on stage. I'm like, because it was easy for me. And, and people don't want to hear that. Like, legit, I was popular. I had friends. Like, I was dating like the guy in high school. Like, there's no one wants to hear about how easy my teen years were, you know? Like, but it is very like God gives with one hand and takes away with the other.
I was going to say, you get to be popular.
Right.
Okay. You get those years.
I can be popular because I also had fleas. So, like, there's a trade-off, you know? There's a trade-off.
I love that. Yeah. You're like, yeah. I was getting the hot dick, but I was also itchy.
Also, so you know, I didn't show my ankles. Because they were bites. But yeah, so I started drinking kind of lightly in high school, and then my high school sweetheart and I broke up, and then they kind of started partying a little heavier. But even in high school, partying heavier was like drinking Natty Light.
Yeah.
After a football game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I quit when I went to college. And then he and I got back together. My high school sweetheart and I got back together. And then when we broke up the second time was when I really started like drinking heavy. I had just turned 21. Mm-hmm. I started cocktail waitressing in a bar. So it was like, it was all around me. I was very much about like that club life and going out every night and drugs and alcohol. And
what made you want to quit drinking the first time in college?
Because I cheated on my high school sweetheart and drinking was like heavy around it. And so I was like, I'm giving it all up. I'm giving up my friends. I'm giving up alcohol. I'm giving up everything to focus on you. And I was freaking 18.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that that's not how you fix things.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes when you cheat on someone as an 18-year-old, you're like, maybe I shouldn't be single.
Yeah.
Or
right?
Maybe I shouldn't be in a relationship.
Yeah,
I should be fucking.
Yeah. I should probably, this is the hottest I'll ever be.
Yeah.
So I should probably get my shit together. Right. That was college. But yeah. So
what did high school drinking look like? Any tales from there?
High school drinking was mostly house parties. Mm-hmm. So it was, there were a few of the friends whose parents didn't really care. You know what I mean? I'm sure everybody had that, where if you were going to drink at someone's house, it would be this person's house.
Mm-hmm.
So that was high school drinking, was no real crazy stories from that. It was mostly beer pong. And then like somebody would go steal a bottle of Parrot Bay that 15-year-olds would all share and be like, we're so hammered. You know what I mean? We don't know the difference. But high school drinking was social and kind of casual, and always involved the games. So Kings or whatever type of
drinking.
Were
you good at beer pong?
I was amazing at beer pong.
I bet you
and
were.
Flip cup.
God damn it, this bitch.
Dude,
just
good at everything. You should have known me when I was a drunk because we'd have just annihilated. Beer pong flip cup was my favorite. I was very good at flip cup. To the
we
point
got tiny
where.
Tiny little hands. Look at those little hands. Little flippy hands.
You got the right height. I'm not too tall, so I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm at the right height for the table, which is good. But like it would get to the point where we were drinking, I would start to challenge entire teams of people in flip cup. So I'd start to get drunk, but I'd take on all of you. Don't know me. I'll win this game if you want me to. And so it'd be like me versus four people, and I'd always win. I was very, very good at drinking games. So.
I believe you got that, a little bit of a competitive spirit.
Oh my God. We're working on that in therapy, by the way. That was like, I have been diagnosed as a perfectionist, and I was like, oh, that, thank you so much.
That's so fun.
You so much for telling me. And he was like, no, this is a bad thing. Like, this is ruining your life. So we need to work on, and competitiveness comes from as a stem of perfectionism and always having to be the best and do the most and that kind of stuff.
Yes. So. My therapist told me that I am an all or nothing.
Yes.
So I'm either the best, I'm the this or that, or I am nothing. I am trash. Everything's awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm either rich or broke.
Yeah.
You know, there's no in between. And she's like, well, we're going to work on that middle area.
Let's learn
what we want.
The key word is moderation. Let's figure that out.
I'm either drinking every single night for a month straight or not drinking at all.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, I couldn't do moderation. I tried to quit drinking 3 times before it set in for that exact reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh, I'll just have one or two. You set all these rules.
Yeah.
I only have two, or I won't drink on weeknights, or no liquor. Now it's just beer. Or, you know,
so
nothing ever stuck because of the same thing where I'm like, I was overweight when I was drinking. And so I would get like hung up on calorie counting and things like that. So I'd be like, well, I'm not just going to have 2 drinks because that's like 150 calories each. And then you flash forward like 4 hours and I've had 9 drinks and Taco Bell. And everyone's like, remember when you were bitching that it was 150 calories? Like, none of this makes sense. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I was I did the calorie counting for a little bit, and then I was just like, well, I'll just skip breakfast.
Yeah, I can a lot for a few vodka sodas. We can do this. Yeah, yeah,
we're gonna make it happen.
Right.
Oh boy. Well, we're working. That's why therapy's real.
Therapy
Please go.
Is real. You need
Brought to,
go to
you
therapy.
By BetterHelp. We are not, but we would love that. That should be our fucking sponsor.
Right.
Huh?
Hey, man. Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm in for it. I'll put in a good word.
Thank you so much.
I don't know anybody there, but I'll try. I'll send an email. We'll figure it out.
I appreciate it. So high school, normal. Then you
Pretty
quit,
normal.
Quit drinking.
Yeah, because I was like, I was trying to prove to my ex that I was like serious about him and our mm-hmm. relationship. So I like completely changed my lifestyle. I stopped hanging out with that group of friends. I mm-hmm. stopped like going to parties. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing everything.
Yeah.
I got very good at Guitar Hero. Oh man. This was the time, 2008. So like Guitar Hero was peak, right? Yeah. And so I would just literally come home after school, do my homework and play Guitar Hero all night. So that was like my thing, you know?
You just kissed another guy? Is that what happened?
No, I went down on him.
Oh.
We didn't have sex, but it was more of an emotional thing because he was a guy that I always like had a crush on. And we were very close and he like would pick me up and drive me home from school every day. And mm-hmm. so he and I spent a lot of time together mm-hmm. and then it all kind of accumulated into, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
An event. And there was a lot going on there. And I was young. And so it's just one of those things where
also people can be so cruel. You know,
but it's just tough.
It's not your fault. Okay. Oh, you're an angel. You're allowed to go on down on anyone you want to go down.
I appreciate that. Okay? Women's rights.
Yeah.
You know?
That's me. Be a slut if you want to.
You suck
okay?
that dick.
It's not even being a slut. That's just mouth stuff.
That's hey,
okay.
That means count towards your number.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. You have a number? I lost track a long time ago.
Dude, yeah. I don't even know. The ballpark.
Yeah. It is a physical ballpark.
Physical, yes. That's the attendance today. 18,000. No, I'm just kidding.
Up top.
We're doing it. Literally. We're doing it.
Love it. Oh, yes. God. I almost dropped that. Okay. So then you clean up your life. Guitar
clean up my
Hero
life.
Only.
Guitar Hero. New addiction.
Yes.
From a man. But then I go to college. And then, like I said, I was pretty legit all through college, just kind of focused. I was a pharmacy major. I was in cheerleading. I was in a couple different honor societies. Like I said, I was always very
Look
good
at
school.
You.
Yeah, I know. Teacher's pet.
Where'd you go to school?
University of Toledo in Ohio.
Yeah. Toledo.
Yes.
Wow. What a city.
Oh, you been?
A few times.
Yeah. How do you like it?
Boo. It's the only city that I've always gone back to, and it's gotten worse and mm-hmm. worse and worse
They're
every time I go
They're still playing the
back.
Same music from 2003 if you go out, just so you know. That's never changed.
It's wild.
So, yeah, it's
like, the first time I went to Toledo, I was like, this isn't that bad. What are people talking about? Mm-hmm. Then I go back again, and I was like, okay, so some things have closed down. Okay,
yeah, no big
I get
deal.
That. Not big, but, you know, the whole country's having a hard time right now. And then I go back when things are back open, mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, they just stopped.
Yeah, they just got to 2003 and quit. And then they were just like, this is good. We like it here. DJ Khaled heard. Come on, bring it over, you know? So now I hear that. It is, even when I go back, even the nostalgia of it sometimes is like, oh, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. I definitely hear that.
Yeah, but they have a great art museum.
Yeah. They got some good things going for them.
Okay, so you went to Toledo. I bet you were the top of the pyramid.
Well, so we had, it was co-ed, so we had male and female, and so mm-hmm. all women were, I was in the very top, because even in college, I was 5'2 and like 120 pounds, and I was like one of the mid-sized girls.
What?
Yes. So the girls that were up on top were like tiny, like you're talking under 5 feet, under 100 pounds, were
Jesus
the girls that were all the way up.
Christ,
yeah.
That doesn't seem healthy.
So I was a mid-level girl, so I would be the one standing on the guy, and then I'd have a chick like on top of me. So
crazy.
Yeah, but you got to think, man, the guy who's on the bottom, which was all dudes who like didn't get football or wrestling scholarships, they went and got cheerleading scholarships.
Yeah.
So they have, you know, 250 pounds standing on top of them between the two girls. That's a lot to have literally on your shoulders. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. So you got to be, that's just something you got to be tiny to do.
I mean, I hugged you and you were like in my bosom. You know what I mean?
Bosom.
Just right here. You
it's
were right
such
there.
It's a safe space.
It is. Thank you so much. It's fair. One day it'll house cats.
Yes.
Just multiple cats. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to go upstairs. It's going to be great. I hear it builds winners.
It does.
So.
It really does. You can work at the guy you've never had before. Yeah. So college was easy up until I started working at that bar. And that was when things, as far as the drinking, really took a turn because I decided I didn't get into pharmacy school even after like trying three different times and retaking classes. I could not get in.
Fuck those people.
Right.
How are you not going to take Mary Santora?
Take it.
Look at her. Look at her.
Have you ever seen a pharmacist like this?
You want one.
You want one.
I've only seen it in porno. I'll tell you that.
I'll do it. No. You hear that, CVS?
Yeah. Stadium level. Come on.
So I applied. I didn't get in. My ex and I finally like called it quits for, you know, for good. Like, we're done. We're done. Mm-hmm. And then I started working at that bar all around the same time. So it was kind of a lot of life changes. And I started partying. I was hanging out with the bar patrons and the bartenders. And it was like my first real... It was my first real experience with, like, the club life, like, going out every night and, like, mm-hmm. knowing all the bartenders and getting free shots and drinks, and I loved it. I mean, I'm a social person. I love...
It's fun.
I love being in crowds and everybody's drunk and having a good time and, like, dance clubs, like... So I loved it. And so that was, like, oh, this is what I'm doing for sure. Like,
yeah.
And then shortly after that, I started stand-up. So I was like, oh, well, this plays in perfectly. Like, I can just work at the bar and do stand-up and at life's a party. Like, everything's amazing, you know? But I've always been that person who couldn't stop. So it was like, it was fun until it wasn't. And I would always be the drunkest girl at the party. I was always the one passing out in a booth. Like, you know, like that was always me. But yeah, so college was, from what I remember, very fun. I had a lot of fun in college. A lot of blackouts, a lot of just finding yourself, a lot of like... I think I had the right college experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I got a lot of things out in my early 20s that if I were doing now, I would not be happy with.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. So, if you're doing it in your 30s, you're just like, uh-oh.
Yeah. We got to get it together.
We got a whoopsie going on here. We got to figure this out.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I black out too. Have you ever like woken up from a blackout and been like, how did I get here?
Constantly. All the time. Dude,
where's the weirdest place?
That I've woken up. I was actually in Toledo. I was out of school, but I went back for a weekend to party and I woke up in a incredibly nice finished basement. And I was looking around and I heard like a lawnmower. I was like, all right, well, I'm in a neighborhood. I don't know whose house this is. Like that, it's definitely none of my friends, because there's no way none of my friends own a house or live in a house like this. So I had all my stuff near me and I had kind of like just gathered it up real quick. And then I walked out the front door and I was in like this nice ass neighborhood. And my car was like parked up on the curb. Still to this day, no idea. I have no clue whose house I was at. The only thing I can think is that it had to be someone's parents' house.
Yes.
Like someone I was out drinking with that night. I had to have crashed at their parents' house. And then I went out, got in my car and took off. But yeah, that was one where I was like, damn. Like, no one called you? No one called me. I didn't go up the stairs. They had, like, a back door that went out into the backyard. So I went out the basement, out the backyard, and then, like, around to the front to find my car. Because I'm like, I'm not going to go greet someone's mom with no bra on. Like, hey, well, how'd I get here? You know what
you
I mean?
You had no
like,
bra on?
I never sleep with a bra on. So it was, like, in the trash can next to me. Somebody had nicely put a trash can next to me in case I puked. So that was very sweet of them. But
so someone who loved you.
Someone who cared.
Yes.
Which is why I'm like, this has to be a friend's parents' house.
Yes, yes.
They definitely don't know anybody.
They cared enough to make sure that you didn't puke on the rug, but not enough to be like, hey, so how was my mom Martha's house?
Right. FYI, here's the address where you are. Like, yeah, I had no clue.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. I've had that happen before. I'll like wake up in a, oh man. So this was right after college. There's a place in Ohio called Put-in Bay. It's an island. All right.
Okay.
And
An island
Lake
in
Erie,
Toledo?
Lake Erie Islands. Yes.
You didn't tell me it was tropical.
Mama, you don't
that
even
changes
know.
Everything.
Everyone has a golf cart. Lake Erie Islands, there's Put-in Bay, there's Kelly's Island. There's all kinds of different little points, right? Notorious for partying. Like you go there in college and you get hammered for a weekend and a club life and whatever. So they have like these giant cabin rental houses, like a communities of them. So there's just hundreds and hundreds of rentals where people, honestly, it's like an open door. You can just walk down the street and walk into a house party. I was like, hey, beer's over there. Like it's just, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced and more what I would assume like a spring break in Florida is kind of like, except on an island in Lake Erie.
Wow.
You know?
I mean,
it's incredible.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
I might fly in early and the next time I do Toledo to
we'll
be
take
like,
you out to
I want to go to that island.
Right. So it is blackout central. So I was there with my sister and all of her friends. So I didn't really know anybody. And I'm jumping forward the timeline. But as far as waking up in places you don't know where you are. We went out for a night of drinking. I'm getting hammered. We're having a good time. And then, you know, you black out. And then I woke up in an empty cabin. So I was in a cabin and I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, well, no one's here. So that's good. How did I get in here? No idea. I don't have a key to this. There's like the doors, all the other doors were locked. So unless in my blackout, I locked every door in the house. I had no clue. I didn't have a phone. I had no idea where I was. And I just kind of wandered into the street. like, you know, in that hungover, still drunk, like morning haze. And I'm like, okay, I recognize these cabins. Like, my cabin is somewhere in this development, but I didn't have a phone. I couldn't find my phone. So I'm like wandering around, and then they have these shuttle buses that will take you from like the developments of cabins to the bars. It's like $2. Mm-hmm. And the shuttle bus drives by, and this guy, the driver, yells out, he goes, "Hey, you owe me $5 from last night." I looked at him. I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You didn't pay me for the ride last night." I said, "How about this? Can you take me back to where you picked me up from? And I'll give you $10 because I have no idea where I am right now." So he's like, "Yeah, I got you." So I got in the shuttle bus and I made it back. And my sister was like, "Dude, where were you? We've been trying to call you all night. Nobody knows." I was like, "I have no clue. I don't know where my phone is." So we did like the find my iPhone. My phone was in the backyard of the empty cabin. So somehow I got in a back door or a window or something. So we went back and got the phone. And but yeah, that's like waking up in places you're unsure of all the time. That was like a mare specialty. That was what I would do. But yeah. Big time, big time.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. The fact that I'm alive is unreal. It's absolutely unreal. I should have been murdered and stolen so many times.
Especially only being 5'2". Ah, you're an itty bitty thing.
You kind of zip around. No one can see me. You. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah. Try and take me. Try and catch me.
Yeah, huh? That's exactly what it is. You can catch me, you can keep me. I was athletic at that point. Yeah. I've woken up in many a place where I did not belong.
That's incredible. Yeah. But you seem so friendly. Like, you're such a friendly drunk that the bus driver was like, "Hey, I want to talk to this chick."
Well, that's the thing is that, like, that's your female privilege where you're like, if you're a cute enough girl, you're going to get away with pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So, like, if even if there were people sleeping in that house, if I was like, "My bad," they'd be like, "All right, cool, no problem." You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to try to fight me or anything, like, if I were a dude, you know? So,
yeah. Worst case scenario, they're like, "She's kind of annoying, huh?"
Yeah, right.
But they're like, "She'll sleep it off."
This drunk chick? Like, just leave her alone. Don't let her. She's going to start talking again. And I can't do it. You know, so.
Yeah, that's the worst. They eye roll at you.
Right. Like, who invited you? Like, literally no one. I have no idea where I am right now.
So after college, where do you go? Where do you land?
So I started stand up and then I ended up moving back home to Cleveland in 2012. And I moved in with my younger sister and I got a bartending gig. So then from then on, it was all parties. Since I was doing stand up and I was, you know, living the life, doing stand up and hanging out and, you know, everything I could do.
Yeah.
I got engaged to a guy that I worked with.
Wow.
And it's so funny because people are like, "Oh, what happened?" You know, and it is a saying that people, "Oh, I was drunk the whole relationship." I was literally drunk the whole relationship. Like, the amount of red flags in that relationship that were just curious, because this is craft beer boom. Okay.
Yes.
So this is when craft beer really started to take off. Mm-hmm. And the alcoholic in me was like, "Wait a minute. You mean I can have one 12% beer and already be drunk? Sign me up and give me a double shot of Crown." You know what I mean? So craft beer and whiskey were like my life for a few years. And so, you know, that leads to its own problems.
Yes.
So we were together for a few years. I was doing that whole scene. I was bartending at a craft beer bar. And getting annihilated after work and all that fun stuff. And then every time we would fight, it was always when we were drunk. And then one morning I finally woke up without a ring on in a separate bed. And I was like, "Oh, so things got heated last night." Like, so that's, he's like, "Yeah, you threw your ring at me." I was like, "We're not doing this." So I was like, "Yeah, it was probably for the best." But
did you guys like bartend together or what was that?
So he was the kitchen manager and I was the bartender.
Oh, I get that, girl.
Front of house, back of house.
I mean, the amount of line cooks this one has.
Girl. It's something that people only understand if you're in the restaurant industry, where they're just like, "Oh, but they're greasy and they're tatted and they're this." And I'm like, "Exactly.
There's so much fun.
You don't get it."
Yeah.
There's no responsibility.
None.
It's just drugs and booze. Like, that's all that it is.
Drugs, booze. They cook for you.
Dude.
And no one parties harder than a line cook or a sous chef because it is like literally you get off work and you're like, "How? I'm up for the next 4 hours, 5 hours. Who's got the drugs? Let's go to a
How
bar.
How fast can I get as blackout as I can?"
Yeah.
It's exactly
so
what it
fun.
Was.
It's for a phase years. That everyone should go through.
Yes. And that was my like early 20s. So that was like 22 to 26
That's
was that
good.
Phase where like I was with him and that was the life we were living. And we were, we didn't have any responsibilities. So we're engaged at 23, 24 years old and we're renting his brother's house and paying half the mortgage. So our rent was like $250 a month.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have real any real responsibility. Yeah. So we were going out and having like $200-$300 dinners with like super nice whiskey and like the best of what we could have. You know? Like, oh, an $80 steak. Yeah. Where are we? A trash can? Like, you know, we were very uppity and snooty. And and again, that has its point in your life, you know. And actually, he and I broke up. But we had tickets to go to a Browns game on Christmas Eve. And we had already split up at this point, but we didn't tell anybody yet. Nobody knew that we were split up. We were like, after the holidays, we'll tell the families and yada, yada. So it was Christmas Eve. And we were going to the Browns game with a couple of friends. We get there. Tailgating is huge in Cleveland, as it is, I'm sure, everywhere. But it's like, take it to another level in Cleveland. So we get to the main party parking lot, which is called the Muni lot. That's where everybody does your pre-gaming. And so we get there like 6 a.m. when it opens. Mind you, kickoff is at 1.
Oh, wow.
So this is 7 hours before the
game. And it's Christmas, so it's like -2 degrees, freezing cold.
It's everyone's bundled to the gills and you're just sitting there drinking a beer at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
No one's happy. You're freezing cold. So we had bought a bottle of whiskey. This nice bottle of whiskey, and we were kind of all passing it around, you know, just doing pulls from the bottle. And I was blackout drunk before the show even, before the game even started, before we even get to kickoff. Mm-hmm. And somehow they ushered me into my seats. And then we had what was then coined as halftime nap time because I passed out in my seat. And I guess I woke up after halftime with a real bone to pick with my ex. And I made a huge scene and I'm like screaming. I don't remember any of this. I'm like screaming at him in front of everybody, losing my mind. And then I decided I was going to walk home from, now I lived like, I lived in a suburb probably 20 miles away. So I decided I'm going to walk home from downtown Cleveland
because
fuck you and I can or whatever my mindset was. So I like just said I was going to the bathroom and just left the stadium. And my friends are calling me and all this stuff. And I'm like crying, just wandering around downtown Cleveland, trying to find my way to the highway so I could walk home. Just such a mess. And my girlfriend found me, like realized I wasn't coming back from the bathroom. Found me. I must have answered my phone or whatever. And she got in my car. She took me to my aunt's house where we always did Christmas Eve. And I am a mess. I'm blubbering. I'm like, we called off our wedding. It is such a mess. Yeah. So drunk. Like so drunk. And I don't remember any of this. This is what was relayed to me. Mm-hmm. I woke up the next morning at my aunt's house and I was like, okay, at least I know where I'm at. I'm at Aunt Vicky's like that. Mm-hmm. But I had a huge goose egg on the top of my head. Like giant black and blue already. And I was like, what the hell? And my sister, I called her. I was like, yo, were you at Aunt Vicky's last night? She's like, bro, you were in rare form. Like they had Ashley dropped you off from the Browns game. And apparently at one point I was like starting to pass out on the couch and they're like, Mary, go downstairs if you're going to sleep. And I went to go stand up to get myself downstairs and just kept the forward momentum and bashed my head right into the corner of the wall. And they're like, that is enough. You already fell into the table. Like, so they like put me to sleep downstairs, but it was like my forehead met a corner and I had a giant goose egg and it was black. Oh God, it was the worst. He's like, dude, you were an absolute train wreck last night. But yeah, so that, I mean, and that's at a family event. You know what I mean? Like, so I started drinking at 6 a.m., never stopped, got to my aunt's house. I had a tradition on Christmas Eve because I was hammered one Christmas Eve and I couldn't remember the name of White Russians, which was like the drink I decided I needed that night.
It's very Christmassy.
Yeah. And so I started calling them Chocolate Marys. No idea why, but it stuck for like 5 years. But my sister was like, you were making your own Chocolate Marys that were 100% vodka. She's like, you were essentially drinking vodka with milk is what you were drinking when you got to Aunt Vicky's last night. So yeah, it's a total disaster. So that was.
How long were you engaged?
We were only engaged for 9 months.
Did you start planning anything or?
I did. He wasn't very interested in anything. And so again, when you talk about a red flag, I'd go home and have a bottle of wine and be like, why don't you pick out flowers with me? Because I just want to marry you. But
I will say that is a good thing. Steve and I are getting married, which is exciting.
Congratulations.
Yes. it's happening. Okay. Anyway, and he's like, I was just like, oh, we went to go like look at a venue. And I was like, I guess we want this, 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 and this. And he was like, we talked about none of this. I want to be involved. I want to pick stuff out and blah, blah, blah. And I was just
awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Yeah. I didn't know you cared.
Because literally the whole time I'm doing, I was like, oh, God, I guess I got to plan a fucking wedding. Yeah. You know, like just pissed about it. Uh-huh. Like, I'm excited to get married, but God, it's a lot of work and a lot of money. And then he's just like, I want.
want to help.
Can I have a say in this, please? This is my day, too.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you really want to marry me. This is great. Okay. Yeah, woo, we did it. But so you break up with Mr. Man.
Yes.
That's good. It seems mutual.
No.
No.
He broke up with me. I begged for it not to happen. It was, I mean, if you want to, this is a whole nother story for a whole nother podcast. He cheated on me with my best friend. She was the one who told me about it after we got in a fist fight. This is what I mean when I say in the interim of
none
my
of this
blackouts.
Was sober.
No.
Okay. Blackout so it's drunk. Still on brand.
Blackout drunk. I'm going at her about being a bad mom, as you do to your best friend. Pushing her, shoving her. Where are your kids right now? You don't fucking know. Just being an asshole. Again, made a blackout. Don't remember any of this. This is what was relayed to me. And so she apparently took me home. I woke up, big bruise in my eye, big black eye. My chin was all busted up, everything. And my cousin calls me the next day. She goes, yo, I don't know if you remember what happened last night, but at one point in your fight, your friend said, that's why your boyfriend was inside me 2 weeks ago. And I was like, the fuck? And so that kind of, so my cousin told me that from what was apparently exchanged during a blackout fist fight. And so I brought it up to both of them. My friend was like, yeah, that's what happened. Here's the whole story, yada, yada, yada. And then he was like, never happened. She's a liar. She just doesn't want us to get together. And I have such abandonment issues from my dad leaving my family when I was young that I chose to believe him. Mm. And so she was like sobbing, crying, like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, this is the truth. I'm so sorry. I want to, you know, figure it out, yada, yada, yada. And so I just like didn't talk to her for a year. And we got engaged after that happened.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh, getting married will fix all our problems. And instead of being like, oh, he cheated on me with someone I'm close to. This is clearly not someone I should be with. It was, she's lying. She's a whore. She did this to ruin me. She's jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't want me to be with the love of my life.
Yeah. Well, when you're young, that's easier to swallow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's what we're fed our whole lives, that women are the enemy.
Exactly.
And blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
And then you have to start paying for your own health insurance, and you realize, oh, no, we got to band together.
We got to figure this out.
We're not getting paid the same. We got to fucking band together. Unionize this womanhood.
Right. For real.
Figure it out.
Like, sink all our cycles.
Yeah.
You know? So that was that. So after that, I was like, oh, we'll get married. That'll fix everything. And then we didn't. Which is the best thing that has ever happened in my life was not marrying that man. Because like
so
after
great.
That, I had basically quit comedy when I was in that relationship because he wanted a wife. He wanted a wife and kids, and he wanted to stay at home. Like, you can work part-time when I'm not here, but I want you to raise kids and dogs and yada, yada. And I was like, okay, yes, I love you. Anything for you.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm not very good at comedy anywhere. I don't really care. I don't really do it. And then after we broke up.
It is. You did.
You
do.
You quit. Yeah. After we broke up, it was like that was in 2017, and my career did a 180. Like the last 5 years compared to the first 5 years of stand up for me would have been like insane.
So, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, you dodged a bullet, baby.
Dodged a huge bullet. I'd be divorced right now. I'd be divorced with at least one kid.
Yeah.
If we would have gotten married.
What's he doing now?
No idea.
Thank God.
I haven't talked to him since like a couple months after we broke up.
That's
I haven't
so great.
Seen him. Haven't heard from him. No clue.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, the best revenge is thriving.
You have no idea.
And that's what you're doing, baby.
Trying my best. Trying to do it. Yeah.
So after you guys broke up, is that when you quit the restaurant biz?
No. So I worked in the restaurants for two more years from 2017 to 2019. But that's when I really started to amp up comedy where I still had two bartending jobs, but I was still amping up comedy. And I was still drinking. I was still partying, still hanging out and doing all that fun stuff. Actually, the summer that after we broke up in like December of 2016, summer 2017, myself, both my sisters and my cousin were all single at the same time. And I was in what I called my divorce apartment. So it's just like a studio apartment.
Yeah.
And so the four of us, mainly me and my two sisters, but a lot of times the four of us would go out in a suburb of Cleveland called Lakewood, which is kind of where all the younger people live. Mm-hmm. It's overcrowded, but you can walk to bars. It's like the closest feeling to like kind of a New York where you can walk out your door and be at a bar in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that summer we tore it up. It was a mess. It was just blackouts and drinking and pool and karaoke and men and there was always someone sleeping in my apartment, even if I wasn't there, which was great. And again, I think everything has a time and place.
Yeah.
And that we needed that summer. We all needed that summer.
Oh, yeah.
But that summer, I actually This is a little drunk story about the only time I've ever missed a show. The only time I have ever missed comedy, and it was 100% my fault. I was working in House of Blues, and this guy came in. He's like a promoter, and we get to talking, and I tell him I do stand up, and he's like, "Oh, exchange numbers. I know a lot of people." Da da da. So this guy gives me like a phone call not too long after that, and he's like, "Hey, I need you to host an event for me." So, okay, do you need me to stand up, or do you just need me like to MC an event? He goes, "Just MC an event. It's my birthday party at this bar downtown, and we're going to have a super special celebrity guest, so I want you to tag along with everything. I want to introduce you to this person." I was like, perfect, no problem. And then it wasn't until everything was confirmed that he sent me, like, the poster, and it was a Dennis Rodman appearance.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So, like, this is a Dennis Rodman appearance.
Fonzie perked up on that one.
I know. He's like, what? Huh? Rodman? The worm? but, yeah, so I was stoked at this point in my life, obviously the biggest celebrity I will have ever met. Mm-hmm. And this is also kind of in the height of the Korea stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm about to hang out with who is single-handedly keeping us out of a war with Korea.
Yeah.
You know, it was insane. So
our biggest diplomat.
Yes, Dennis Rodman. So it was cool. The event was fun. It was just basically like pulling raffle tickets and things like that and basic MC stuff. So after that, my buddy was like, "Hey, stay by me. Things are going to move quick. We have a couple club appearances," which I'm not into that world, but I was like, I'm here for it, for drinks. Let's go. So this was on a Saturday. We are going around and around, and we went to dinner, and we went to, this is also the time that I found out that Cleveland has a yacht club. Had no clue until we pulled up to this very nice area that I didn't even know existed. And we go to this really nice yacht club. We're having drinks and everything's comped. And everywhere we went, everything was comped. There's bottles waiting for us. So as the night progresses, we're going to a couple different bars. We're getting increasingly more drunk.
Dennis Rodman is with you?
Dennis Rodman is with us. So they scheduled, right. So we're taking like stretch Hummers and shit. And like, he's such an imposing figure that like you can't miss him. So the minute we step out, and by the way, he's wearing his own jersey. So in case you were like, "Is that Dennis Rodman?" It definitely was.
For sure.
So the minute we step out of the stretch Hummer, something like that is going to draw attention to begin with. And then people see. And it's like, I had never been around that level of fame before where people just crowd instantly. As soon as they figure out what's going on, pictures, people crowd, and Dennis, Dennis, you know. So I'm just kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, to be get the free drinks. Everywhere we went, we had like two bottles of Tito's waiting for us. And then I was also blown away at the amount that they just didn't care that he would have like one or two drinks at each club appearance and then just leave the rest of the bottles. So I was like chugging bottles of vodka like, we're going to waste it. Like, you can't just leave it here, you know. So we get to the end of the night and it's fine and everything's going great. And we're like hanging out in the hotel lobby and we're all eating pizza. We're all drunk and having a good time. I made Dennis some weird bet about like fitting I bet I could fit pizza in my mouth or like a whole slice of pizza, something like that. And I bet him his jersey that he was wearing. So I like whatever the bet was. And this is like just such a brownout moment that I specifically remember, like, not fighting with him, but like going back and forth with Dennis Rodman about getting his jersey. And then I woke up in a hotel room alone. I did not fuck Dennis Rodman. I'd like that to be, that could be the title of this episode.
Okay,
I did not fuck Dennis Rodman.
Although I would have cheered for you.
Right. So I woke up in a hotel room alone in Dennis Rodman's jersey. And I was like, I fucking won. Like, look at this. Yeah. I did it. So we met up the next morning for brunch, which is in the restaurant at the hotel. So we're all hitting there hungover as shit. We're drinking our drinks. So this is a Sunday. And then they're like, we have a couple more yacht club appearances today. And I was like, bro, it's like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to jump back on that train. And then they ordered shots of Jaeger. I was like, oh, we're jumping back on that train. So like we go, I put on my clothes from the night before and we're going out to a bunch of different yacht clubs, getting increasingly more drunk, literally drinking Jaeger all day long. I don't know if that's his preferred drink or whatever, but dude, we get to this like last yacht club and it's maybe like 2 or 3 in the afternoon at this point. And I am like, I'm gone and I'm hammered and I'm kind of like, you know, getting to that teetery point where I know I'm not going to make it much longer. I'm smoking cigarettes. I've never smoked a day in my life, but Dennis had a cigarette. So I was like, I smoke cigarettes too.
Yeah.
And the last thing I really remember was he had picked up some chick at the yacht club who was tiny, like so small, huge, big fake boobs, gorgeous, like tan. Yeah. And she had a rock on her finger, like no joke, the size of probably a cherry tomato, the diamond on. I was like, clearly engaged or married, but didn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So he doesn't give a shit. He's leaving, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember those two sitting in like the front of the car that we had. And I was like laying down in the back seat. I was like, I gotta lay down. And I told them, I have a show tonight. Like, you have to get me home. I have a show tonight. And so they got me back to my apartment. And after that, I just passed out. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I woke up to like 30 missed calls and a bunch of text messages because I was supposed to be at a comedy. I was supposed to be hosting at Hilarities that night.
Oh, no.
And a friend of mine is banging on my door. And I wake up. My bathroom is flooded because I had turned on the shower to take a shower to get ready to go to the show, but passed out naked in my bed. My friend is banging on the door. I'm like, what? They're like, dude, you fucking missed your show. You're doing this. And what happened to you? Nobody's been able to get a hold of you for 2 days. I'm like, I was on a bed with Dennis Rodman. Fuck you. You don't know me. So, but that is like literally the only time in history that I have ever missed a show, and it was my fault. And I was like, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take that out. I'll take a weekend of bender discovering new things about my city with Dennis Rodman. Over a hosting spot. I think it'll be okay.
You know what? That's fair. That's right. Fair. And fair. Obviously the club didn't hold it against you. They work you all the time.
And there is no reason why I should be working at Hilarities. Like, I'm not even kidding. And I've told them that 1,000 times where I was like, the fact that you guys even let me in the door is wild. Like, I have passed out in front of the door to the bathroom before. I've been so drunk at that club. Like, didn't even make it into the toilet. Fell asleep in front of the bathroom. And the manager's like, "Don't, you can't sleep here. Like, what are you doing?" You know? But yeah, that was a fun weekend. Yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
Well done.
Hey, you know, what are we going to do?
You know what? If you're going to go out
in
style.
How you go out. I was like, I know, I'm just thinking of all the drunk stories. I was like, I've been kicked out of 2 concerts. I've been...
How do you get kicked out of a concert?
Girl. All right. Let me think of which one's better. I have two. I'll give you... Okay. Here's the better of the two stories. Okay. One was a John Mayer concert. So if
that's
ever,
hard to
I don't
do.
Know if you've ever been so drunk that you've been ejected from a soft rock concert. But I did it. I tried to rush the stage.
No, you're Bodies in Wonderland.
That's exactly what it was. I'm obsessed with John Mayer. If you're listening, I'm in New York City this week. God, I love him. But we had lawn seats at an outdoor like amphitheater show. Mm-hmm. And his regular set ended. So it was in between regular set and encore. And drunk me was like, I'm getting to fucking John Mayer. I'm going to do it. And so, like, I sprinted and hopped the fence into the pavilion. And I, like, ran all the way up to the front. How I didn't get stopped, I'll never know. But I'm in the front. I'm at the stage. I'm watching John Mayer. And then during his last song, I, like, got my hands up on the stage and went to go swing my legs around to be on the stage with John Mayer. And in the same swoop that I swung my legs around, I was like bear hugged by a security guard. They like pushed me out. Like, get the fuck out of here, Maya. I just want to meet John. You know, such a mess. I peed in my own car that night. yeah. I was trying to pee into a water bottle like this, like a bottle of Aquafina. And I'm like hovering and I'm like hovering and just everywhere. Urine everywhere.
God bless you.
That's not even the better of the two
you
stories.
You get drunk and you just have ambition.
Dude, I am dedicated. And this, maybe it will be the last story if we have time. So this story is probably the most dedicated I've ever been when I've been blackout drunk. This was right after college. My friend's dad works for a prominent corporation in Cleveland that has suite tickets to every event at the basketball arena. So
perfect.
So New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys were coming. And she goes, hey, NKOTBSB is coming. We got a suite. You're coming with me because I'm obsessed with Backstreet Boys. And so we go to the show. And this is in my post-college before the engagement. So pretty heavy drinking, but still just like a partier.
Yes.
Don't think there's anything wrong. I'm 21, 22 years old. You know,
no flags yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I brought a bottle of 151. And my friend, who is still my best friend to this day, was like, what are you doing? Like, we can't. I was like, just do one shot and then it'll be like, it's so much easier because then you save a bunch of money drinking the rest of the night. And she goes, we're in a suite. Everything's free. Like, you don't have to do shots of 151. But I convinced everyone in the party to take a shot of 151.
Yeah.
We're getting in the car. And I was like, wait, I got to pee before we leave. I did not have to pee. I went back in and did 2 more shots of 151 by myself. So I did 3 back-to-back-to-back shots of 151. In the 15, 20-minute drive to get from the suburb where we were at her parents' house to downtown Cleveland, I blacked out. I don't remember much of this concert. So we're walking in, we get to the suite. And I guess blacked out isn't right because there's brownout. There are parts of the night that I remember. New Kids on the Block, I couldn't give a shit about. Yeah. They're a little bit before me. I was there for Backstreet Boys. So New Kids is up. They're singing, yada, yada. And then Backstreet Boys are coming. I was probably having a beer and some food, but I was very drunk. Backstreet Boys are getting ready to take the stage. Now, the venue, I had cheered the MAC tournament at the week before.
Uh-huh.
So we had gone in like the player's entrance, and I knew how to get to the parts of the venue that you shouldn't be in because I was just on the floor cheerleading the week before.
So, oh, no.
What amazes me is that my drunk brain is able to piece all this together. That's what is just astonishing to me is that my brain was like, I can get you there, baby. Like, we can go. So I had made it my goal. I was like, I'm going to meet AJ tonight. I'm going to meet AJ McLean, and I'm going to make him love me. That's what's going to happen. So as soon as Backstreet Boys, like, the comeback on stage, I jumped out. I didn't go out the door. I love jumping things. I jumped over the barrier to get, like, out into the arena. And I made it all the way backstage. Nobody stopped me. Nobody asked any questions. I just walked backstage, and I'm, like, looking around, and I, like, saw where I needed to get while I could see. I'm backstage looking out at the stage watching the Backstreet Boys perform before someone was like, hey, where's your thing? And I was like, oh, I think I must have left it. And they're like, get out of here. You're not supposed to be back here.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me back to my seat. So I was, like, went to the bathroom and was, like, plotting how I could get back there again. And so I did. I waited until, like, I didn't see anybody, and then I get back out there. And this time I was like, fuck it, I'll go on the stage. So I was standing backstage. This is an image that is burned into my memory, even though I was completely blackout drunk. I had both hands on the rails to the stairs going up the stage. And I was like, I'm doing it. I can see AJ. I'm going to go get him. I'm going to make him marry me or kiss me, whatever my thought was. So I've got both hands, and I'm like hyping myself up. I'm like, and then at that point, again, bear hug, taken out into security. They take me into, like, the security office because they're not cops. They're just, like, venue security. And I am being a bitch, like a sarcastic asshole where they're like, what did you think you were going to do getting backstage? And I was like, well, whose fucking fault is it that you let me backstage twice? I'm sorry. Maybe if you're better at your job, I wouldn't have made it. Like, so I'm, like, talking shit to the security guards until I was handcuffed and taken out of the venue. I wasn't arrested, but they, like, handcuffed me so I couldn't get away. Yeah. And this is before Uber. So they called me a cab. So they put me in a cab. And the guy asked me, he's like, where are you going? And I didn't know the address. I was like, I don't know the address, but I can get you there if you let me give you directions. And I'm trying to speak Spanish to this guy for whatever reason. And he was like a white dude. Like, he wasn't even like a racist thing. I don't know if I just wanted to speak Spanish that night. But he told me over and over and over again. He's like, I don't speak Spanish. Like, you have to stop speaking Spanish to me, you know? But in my mind, I was like, yo quiero, dude, I go to the house, you know? Like, it was so stupid. So instead of having him take me back to my friend's house, I had him take me back to my friend's parents' house because that's where we had all met. And I was like, they literally live across the street from each other. So the cab drops me off. I don't even remember how much it was, probably like $100. And now at this point, I'm completely gone. I don't remember any of this happening, but apparently I get into their house and my friend's dad is like, oh, you're clearly a problem. And he, like, puts me to sleep. And then I came out of the bedroom and was peeing in their kitchen sink.
Oh, my God.
Like, pants down around my ankles, like, gargoyling. You know what I mean? Like, completely squatting, peeing into my friend's parents' kitchen sink. I don't remember any of this. And so apparently, that's what happened. He puts me back to bed because my friend Kelsey comes over the next morning and she's like, what the fuck? Like, you can't do this. You can't act like that. Like, flipped out on me with good reason. And I was like, no, I don't know, man. He's like, I'm so sorry. You know, all this stuff. She's like, you're pissing in my parents' sink, Mary. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know, my car's going up. And so her and I were fine after that. Her and I, we stayed friends, but, like, her parents hated me.
Yeah.
And for good reason. I get that. Yeah. You know, it's like your dad had to pull my pants on my naked body and get me off of his
sink.
Right. There's probably dishes in it. I don't know. Like, they had just finished dinner. Now they can't have leftovers or something. It's not like I had good aim. I was squatting over a sink. Just an absolute train wreck. So It wasn't until a couple years later that we were at my friend's wedding, that same friend's wedding, mm-hmm. where I was hammered and I pulled her dad aside at the wedding. And I was like, I just want to say I'm so sorry for that Backstreet Boys concert. And he's like, not tonight. Like, he like totally was like, we can talk about this another day. It's my daughter's wedding. Like, I'm not talking with you about this. But when I got sober, they were one of the first people I told, her parents, where I was like, hey, just so you guys know, I don't drink anymore. You yeah. probably guess why, you know. Yeah. But after that, after I quit drinking and they saw like the turn in my behavior, they're like, okay, like you're a good kid. We've known you your whole life.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the more, when you talk about being determined, getting backstage twice and
that's
being
incredible.
Insane. Yeah.
And
for sure.
terrifying.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's when everyone's like, if you were anything other than a small, cute white woman, you'd have been shot. You'd have been dead. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I know.
Arrested.
Like, I should have been arrested, dead so many times. DUIs, none of it. So, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, dude. Well, life's crazy.
I mean, I hate to say it, but we're out of time.
Hey, man. We'll do a part two. I'll give you 9 more.
It's incredible. And I can say this from the bottom of my heart. I am so glad you're sober.
Girl. And the thing is that you weren't even there for any of these. Like, my close friends, I won't do one more. We already did an hour. There's the story of the last day that I drank was very, I'll do a very quick version of it, where I woke up hungover drunk, went on a daytime bar crawl with my gay best friend, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which, what's going to go wrong at a daytime bar
Absolutely
crawl?
Absolutely
nothing. Especially if you're already drunk when you wake up.
Yeah.
So I had invited a guy I had been dating. I was like, hey, why don't you come do this with me? It would have been on like our third date or something like that.
Yeah.
And he told me he had a funeral to go to. He wasn't available that day. No problem. So I'm hungover drunk, do 2 shots, right back into drunk. I'm with my gay best friend. We get to like the 3rd bar on the bar crawl. And across the bar, I see the dude that I was dating, who was supposed to be at a funeral. So I like walked over to him and my best friend was like, please don't do this. Please don't do this. It's noon. I don't want to get kicked out of a bar. And I'm I'm sorry, but I thought you had to be at a funeral today. You know, and so like I'm in his face, like yelling at him and like doing shots at him the rest of the day. Cause you're on a bar crawl. So you're going to the same spots.
Yeah.
I'm getting hammered and I'm like getting drunk at him. Like, oh, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. What you're missing. Like, I don't know what the thought was.
Be jealous.
You don't know. Look how hot I am when I puke.
You could be holding back my hair right now.
Yeah, fucking privilege. So like I got drunk at him and then the same thing. Phone died. Didn't answer anybody's calls or texts. I woke up with a pictures of someone else's ID and their car in my phone.
Uh-oh.
And a cop's card. And I was like, oh, shit, I was in an accident last night. Like, didn't remember that. And then that was the tipping point where I was like, these aren't fun anymore.
Yeah.
I could have killed somebody. Like, it's time to stop. Like, you know, and I sure shit wasn't going to call the cop and be like, hey, what happened? You know, but that was like getting drunk at people is what started to be the turning point from like fun drunk to like, okay, maybe we quit. Maybe this is the one. And when I told like my close friends that story, they were like, oh, yeah, we knew that the time was coming. Like, this is like, you have no idea how much better we sleep at night now that we know you're not doing any of the things you used to do. So
wild.
Sorry. Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're sober.
Me too.
Although you sound like a hoot, but not worth it.
There are some people that I see drinking that I'm like, damn, we would have gotten in some trouble. You know what I mean? Like, if I'd have known you 4 years ago, we'd have been a train wreck together.
Oh, but look at you now. You're thriving, baby.
Trying my best.
You're thriving. You got a new deal?
Hey.
Working on that teeth move?
Wheeling, dealing. For sure. Yeah.
And where can people find you?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Mary Santora Comedy. MarySantora.com has all my tour dates, Twitter, Mary_Santora. Mm-hmm. And then you can check out The Ellen Cox Show on iHeartMedia or anywhere you get podcasts.
And she's great. You should definitely go see her live. Yeah. Definitely go see her at Hilarities if she's ever
there. Yeah, that's my home club there in Cleveland.
Club is amazing. It's wonderful. Please book me. And Mary, what a fucking wonderful guest you were.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, no
Holy
problem.
Hell, mm-hmm. And thanks for not drinking.
Hey, amen.
Give it up to her for that. Huh?
One day at a time.
I think AJ also thanks you.
Oh,
AJ
God.
And John Mayer.
Both
Holy
of them.
Holy hell.
My two babies.
You'd be in her basement right now, chained up.
100% to each other, nonetheless. Sing for me!
She's determined.